Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the Word. Are you ready for the Word today? We started a series last week called, come on, help me, The Proof is in the... The proof is in the fruit. Won't you stand with me? Open your Bibles over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And we have, as a church, received a word, we believe, prophetically from the Lord that to emphasize and focus on the Holy Spirit this year. And so we're going to talk all about the Holy Spirit this year and all that He does in our lives. We have communion today, but I'm going to do something that I've never done before. We're going to do something different with the communion. It's going to be at the end of the service. And so, ushers, stand by for when we get to the end of the service. We're going to hand those elements out. Those of you that are at home, you can be prepared as well. But before, you know, the Holy Spirit, we talked a lot last week how He is the power. He brings us the gifts. He gives us power of the Holy Spirit, right? Right after Easter, Jesus began to talk about the Holy Spirit. But before I got to the gifts and before I get to the power and all of that, the Lord put it in my heart and told me to preach and teach on the fruit of the Spirit, because we need both. We need both. Society needs to see fruit, that we need both. The gifts of the Spirit is what we do in church. We prophesy in church. The fruit of the Spirit is shown how we treat the waiter at the restaurant after church. Is that too fat? Are you guys ready? I mean, was that too much, too soon? Okay, that's the gifts of the Spirit. We use them on stage. We use them in church. We want to get up here. The fruits of the Spirit are revealed when we work with other people, when God tells us no, when we got to do. These are the fruit of the Spirit, and they must, and I teach it, now you're going to be learning about this, that character and the fruit of the Spirit is all about character, and character is the cup that holds the anointing. And so the fruit of the Spirit, we are in a society where we need both. We need to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and overcome death, hell, you know, sin and whatever He has. Use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Amen. But we also need to be people that is manifesting and developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives that people see, our family sees. And so that's what we've been talking about. And today is a day where we need to be planted in God and have the fruit more now than ever. How many think we need peace right now? That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You see? The world's running everywhere to try to get peace when we would just look inwardly and allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in our life. That peace will manifest in our life. So in Psalm 1, I believe we're going to look at this today, and we're going to learn some things of how to produce this fruit. So we're taking 2 weeks before we get to the fruit of the Spirit. And last week we talked about what the fruit of the Spirit is. We're going to talk more about how to develop this fruit. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." River of life. You see that? Our church is in the Bible. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." How many want a life like that? Yes. "Well, the ungodly, it's not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I want to share with you a revelation that God gave me a long time ago, but I never really understood it at the time. And I've been learning to develop this and this more and more in my life. And I hope this is going to be a message and a teaching that you will implement in your walk with the Lord as well. I'm going to title this Fruit That Works. Fruit That Works. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your presence here today. Have your way in our lives. Have your way, God, in our hearts through this message, Lord. When all around us is sinking sand and shaky ground, and Lord, we know we are standing on the rock, and we can rest assured, God, that you're going to work all things out together for those that love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and have a seat. I want to get right into this today. So if you're taking notes, you need to write some things down. And we talked a lot about the differences between what fruit is, why we need it. But this is why I think it's so neglected today in many of our, especially our charismatic and Pentecostal circles. We focus so much on the power gifts and things like that because it's a little bit easier. Because I think this is why. Write this down. Gifts are given, but fruit is produced. And so this is why, you know, you're going to get a gift. Everyone that has God living inside of you, you have gifts. And there is an element of maturing in that gift, absolutely. But fruit has to be produced. In other words, there is a process that comes with fruit. And that's what we don't really like too much. So let me just share with you something. The Lord has put this on my heart. And so in the Bible, in Genesis, we have... there are two trees in the Garden of Eden, and everything starts with these two trees. One is the tree of life. One is the tree of death, actually, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, as long as you eat of that tree, you're going to live. You eat of this tree, you're going to be in trouble. I believe that these two trees still exist today in many ways in our Christian faith. This tree right here is the tree that it looks like it has a bunch of fruit on it. It looks good because Genesis 3 says that the tree of the evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was pleasant to the eye. So this tree looks good, and many people would look at this tree, and if you look real close, you can see olives on it. This is a replica of an olive tree. And you see it, and you look like it's very healthy. There's olives all over it, and it looks good, just like it was in Genesis. And many people would say this is a good tree and a healthy tree. But if you look closer to this tree, you'll notice a couple things. First of all, there's only one kind of fruit. There's just one kind of fruit, and it's the olives. And if you look really closely, they're just not the same. They're the same exact all the time. We learned last week that you can't fake fruit, and that fake fruit... will show itself that it's fake. One of the things it does is it never changes. There's nothing fresh. There's nothing fresh on this tree. There's nothing growing. There's nothing alive. It's just the same. And we become what we eat. And if you eat from this tree, and if we eat from this tree, we will find ourselves getting into this situation and pattern that it's always the same. It's kind of shallow. The root system is not very deep. And we go from one relationship sometimes and have the same outcome. We go to this another ministry, and it's the same outcome. We try this ministry, and it's the same to be the same outcome. We just do that over and over again. This is spiritually represented in many of our lives. You eat of this tree, you know, and you could be in church for 20 years, but you still worship the same way you did 20 years ago. We're still reading the same amount of the Bible. We still give the same $10 bill every Sunday. There's no growth. There's no fruit. There's no depth. There's no life from this tree if you eat of it. If you look closely at this tree, you also see a couple of other things. This is the tree of works. This is what the Lord showed me. Because I first got saved, I wanted to jump into the ministry and do everything I could for God, the way he saved me, where I came from. And so I did like so many others do, and you go to work. You eat of this tree, and this is a hurried life tree. This is work, work, work. This is do, go, go, hurry, hurry. And it looks good, but as you eat it, the more you eat it, the worse you feel. This tree has no depth in it. It has no joy. You look closely at it. Emotionally, it's not healthy. You eat from this tree, and you're not content. You eat from this tree, you're easily offended. You got a lot of olives there, and it looks good, but it's so superficial. It's so shallow. Hope you're writing this down, because this is what we don't want to be. We don't want to be easily offended. We don't want to have a same pattern that's so temporary and not faithful and not loyal. And we just eat of it, and we keep doing. We got to do more. We got to do more. And, oh, Pastor Eddie, you said last week God expects us to bear fruit, so I got to bear fruit. And this kind of life, if you eat from it, will find itself into every area of your life. It'll find its way in your work life. You know, the boss says this, and you're the first to volunteer because you got all these things you want to be accepted, and you want to move on, and you want to excel. And so you do. You have it in your kids' life. You know, we run our kids, and we join this committee, that committee, and we run. And if you look closely, we're not feeling any better. We're exhausted. We're tired. And just like God told Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree, the day you eat of it, you will die. Well, if you read in Genesis, they ate of it, but they didn't die. They did die. It was a slow death. And let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, if we eat of this tree, it's a slow death. Because we were never designed to eat from this tree. But it's so easy to do that. This is the other tree. This is the tree of life. On it, it has the olives as well, because there is works involved in serving the Lord, but this tree is entirely different. There's life here. There's different fruits represented here because this tree is full of life. People want to be around this tree. People want to be like this tree. They love to spend time with people like this in this tree. It's the tree of life. But one of the main differences is that's a tree of works, and this is a fruit tree. Because the main difference between works and fruit is that fruit doesn't work. Fruit is developed. Fruit produces. There's a difference between works and fruit. Fruit produces. Let me say it over here. They didn't get it. Fruit produces. The only thing you got to do to a fruit tree is make sure it is in a healthy environment. That's all you got to do. A tree will do its own work. You'll never find a fruit tree going, oh, I got to work so hard. Oh, I got to push out grapes, and I got to make sure I got apples. And, oh, I got to work so hard. You just got to have that tree planted in a healthy environment. And in its season, it will bear fruit. It's a totally different feeling, everything about this fruit. This fruit tree is guaranteed to produce fruit as long as it's in a healthy environment. We read it. Let me show it to you. In Psalms 1, it says, this tree, if it's planted by the rivers of water, it will bring forth its fruit in its season. All you got to do is plant this tree in a healthy environment, and it will produce fruit. It's no working. It's not. This tree is busy. This tree is producing. It's totally different. This church is health. This tree is healthy, has seasons. This tree looks the same all year round, all the time, and it looks really good until you really slow down and you take a look at it. But this tree has seasons. There's growth. Things change and changes with it. But it will grow on its own. It'll produce fruit as long as it's in a good environment. Jesus said it even more specifically in John 15. He said, he who abides in me, and here it is right here, he who abides in me, who is planted in a good environment, and I in him, see, so he who is planted in me, and I in him, somebody say environment, you will produce and bear much fruit. That's all you got to do. You got one assignment. This tree has one assignment. This tree has a lot of things going on over here. This tree has got one assignment, and that assignment is to abide. The assignment of this tree is to be planted, is just to abide, because the soil does the work. The elements do the work. This thing will naturally want to produce fruit on its own. You and I are called to be like this tree and not this tree. We need to learn to eat from this tree of life, so God can let the fruit be produced in our life, and people see it and people want to be a part of it. The word, so what is planted and what is the environment? Jesus lets us know by using the word abide. Everybody say abide. The word abide, Jesus uses that word 10 times in John 15. The word abide, it means to remain. Jesus said, whoever remains in me, to make a home. This is slow down, to be here with me for a while. Be with me. You will bear fruit. So, first thing I want you to know is that our primary calling, Write this down. Our primary calling is to be with the Lord before we work with the Lord. This right here. This has got a lot of things going on. I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, man, I'm running over here. I'm running all that. And, man, there is generations of the church world that were raised like this. And I was like this. And many of you are like this. And I'm telling you, it's not a healthy pattern to be sustained. There's no fruit. There's no substance. Over here, if we would just do one assignment and to slow down and to abide in Jesus. Jesus said, if I abide in you and you in me, I'm going to take care of it. You're going to produce fruit. It's going to be luscious. It's going to be fresh. Everyone's going to see it, and it's going to last, and it's going to be the tree of life. But you got to do one thing, and that's just to abide with me. When I first got saved, I remember I had a friend come with me to church, and they got saved, and it was a big dramatic thing. And I remember they looked at me, and they said, now, what do I got to do? What do I got to get rid of? And I said, you got one assignment, and it was the Lord that had me say that. I said, you got one assignment, and that is to fall in love with Jesus. And you know that assignment never changes. This is a lifelong calling. You will never, never outgrow this calling. You'll never outgrow it. But many of us do. Many of us begin to do this for a while. We kind of let it go, and we end up over there in that tree. Well, bear with me now as I just kind of demonstrate to you discipleship 101 of what is a good environment. Let me give you some practical things here based on what we read in Psalm of what is a healthy environment, because all you got to do is abide in a healthy environment, and you're going to produce fruit. This is what the Lord has showed me. So every good tree needs... I got props all over the place. Need soil. And soil in the Bible is the heart. How many see my little heart right here? I want to give a shout out to the Wednesday night girls ministry friends class for making all my props today. Thank you, Trinity G., Leilana Trotz, Brooklyn Long, Mia Loomis, and Kinsey Thompson. Y'all did good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So the soil of you got to start with the soil. And this is the most important part of a tree is the soil. Remember last week I told you that Jesus came looking for a tree that had fruit, and he had no fruit on it. And he said, cut that tree down. But the gardener said, no, give it one more year. Let me dig all around it and put fresh soil in it so those roots can go deep. Because no roots, no fruit. Come on, somebody. But there won't be no fruit unless there's good soil. And Jesus taught that the soil is the heart. How many know Christianity is all about the heart? Everything is about the heart. Religion is about this guy. Religion is about looking good on the outside. Religion is about doing. If you do more good things and outweighs the bad, this is the tree of works. You don't want an apple out of that sack, as my dad says. You want to produce fruit, but it starts with the soil. Soil is everything to a tree. And so we're told is with our heart is to guard our heart, right? For out of it flows the issues of life. And what Psalm starts off telling us in Psalms 1, if you read it, he says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the path of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's saying, I need you to guard your heart, because our heart, listen, is influenced by the company we keep. I don't care how much Bible you know, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how many times you come to church or watch us online, the people that you keep is going to impact your heart. He said, don't take counsel from the ungodly. Don't take advice from people who ain't planted themselves. I didn't write it. God says this is going to cause you to not bear good fruit. Listen, if you hang around people who don't have a worship life, don't really worship, let me just be real with you, you're not going to worship. If you hang around people that don't read their word, there may be nice people, but you ain't going to be in your word. Flip that around. If you hang around with some people that know how to worship, you hang around with some people that have a prayer life, you're going to start to want to pray. And what I love about our church, and it's growing, I'm telling you, there are people in this church that are fruits and works.
Let me tell all those that feel the Holy Spirit connecting you to the works tree that you need to get some fruit trees in your vineyard. This is why we say, join a life group. We say, get involved, do this, because we want you to have a good, good soil. Okay, so the Bible continues to go. You've got to guard your soil. Tell your neighbor, guard your soil. Guard it. Psalm says guard it, but he says, this man, he meditates in the word both day and night. Where's my son? The son is the word of God. You guys did awesome. Brooklyn Long, me, amen. They did this one. He says, but this man meditates in the word both day and night. This tree needs sunlight every single day. And you and I, it says that this man that bears good fruit, in order to bear good fruit, you're going to need the word of God every single day. This is discipleship 101. Bear with me. We're going to go deep in a minute, but I need you to catch. And some of y'all that's been in church for a while, you need to rehear this. Because we live in a society today, we don't get in our word. We take supplements. Because we live in Michigan, and sometimes you got to learn to take supplements in Michigan because we don't always get a sunny day like out there, that's out there today. So you take what? You take vitamin D. If you got a plant and you live in a place where there's not a lot of sun, you get a sun lamp. Those are supplements. They work. Let me tell you what a spiritual supplement is, a podcast. Nothing wrong with it. I listen to podcasts. They're good. Vitamin D supplements, they work. But can I tell you, there is nothing that replaces the raw, written word of God. When you open up that Bible and you say, God, speak to my heart. Lord, speak to my life today from this Bible. And you don't read your Bible. Come on, you learn your Bible. And a heat lamp and a sun lamp would do good, but it's nothing like the raw sunshine. Come on, how many word people we got in here today? You got to eat the word. You got to live the word. You got to know the word. When they cut you, you ought to bleed scripture. You got to digest the word of God. Let the word go through you, because then transformation happens and then you begin to bear fruit. And lastly, the Bible says that he meditates on the word both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Water is the Holy Spirit. Look at there. I feel like I'm in youth ministry again, honey. This may be life-changing. Here, you need the water of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, this tree will dry up without the water. And Psalm says you got to guard your soil. Don't be letting anybody, don't be letting anything. Let me just go a little deeper. What kind of music are you listening to? I'm just saying, because the lyrics and the spirit that is behind a lot of our entertainment, just write them down and pray over it and take a look and see what is influencing your heart. Jesus said, guard your heart, for out of it flows issues of life. He said, guard your ears and watch your eyes. These are, I know, old school kind of teachings, but it's actually healthy. You want to bear fruit? Because this guy over here, he don't do none of this. And I'll show you in just a minute why. The Holy Spirit, you know what water does? Water activates the nutrients in the soil. How many gardeners we got? And by the way, our prayer garden, Ricky does a phenomenal job. Ricky's always there helping and planting those trees and stuff like that. So God bless you, Ricky. Thank you for all that work. He's always come to me, let's put this plant in there. Let's put that plant in there. But you got to water it, because water activates the nutrients. Water will cause in the same way with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring revelation from the written word and give you insight and give you understanding as long as you get some water. And you need to learn to get filled with that water. You need to learn to get filled with the presence of God and be overflowing with the Holy Spirit and watch things come to life. And then you will produce fruit. As long as you abide in this environment, fruit will follow. Now, let me just tell you that, to be honest with you, I've known this for a little while, like many of you have, and I know all about what Jesus wants me to do. He wants me to eat from that fruit tree, and stay off of this. But I have to constantly check myself. I have to examine my fruit. I have to examine my life, because it is so easy. The pressures of life will get you over here, because you start to, the first thing that goes is your spiritual walk and spiritual disciplines. It's the first thing that goes when pressure comes in many people's lives. So there are some things that I ask myself. There's some questions, and I want to run them by you and want you to ask these questions. So when I, as we come out of COVID, especially during the years, the church continued to grow, and I knew this, you know, it's a Mary Martha. It's kind of like that teaching, but a little bit more deeper than that. And so I was all about abiding in God, spending time with him because we were on lockdown. Amen. Everybody did. And the church, you know, getting back in here, I found myself being pulled. I found the pressures, boom, boom, boom. Then I found myself starting to eat from this tree, being discontented, easily offended, being shallow. And I said, Lord, what am I doing? And what do I need to get rid of? What do I need to do this? He says, you just need to do one thing. You forgot. You need to spend some time with me. And I prayed my morning prayer and I read my Bible, but he said, no, you need to do this. I'm just being transparent with you. If a pastor, if Jesus had to do this every single day, the Bible says he would often withdraw himself so he can spend time with the Father. You and I have got to learn to do this. In this busy, crazy world that's going on, you got to learn to abide in him. And so I ask myself this, I want you to ask yourself, is my life structured for abiding or for avoiding? So when people ask me to do this, you know, I got an opportunity to be a chaplain, and I love it. I love ministering to our senior police officials and things that's going on and all of that. I love it. I got other opportunities, but I have to ask myself, is my life structured for abiding or avoiding? And here's the, we don't intentionally avoid God. Like, nobody is like, God, I don't want to be with you. But we structure our lives in a way where we don't have time for this. And let me tell you the scary truth about this is you don't need God to do good things. You don't need God to do a lot of these good works. You can feed the homeless, you can clothe the homeless, you can feed the poor, you can even be in church, you can stand on this stage and sing to hundreds of people and lead them into the presence of God when you yourself haven't spent 10 minutes in the presence of God. You can do it. You know it, and I know it. I can preach truths that I'm not living. That is the sad reality of ministry. Churches are built. You hear about them all the time. The churches was taken off. It was growing. Then how did that happen? There was a moral failure. And we think, oh man, it's something deep and complicated. Let me tell you, it's nothing deep or complicated. They quit abiding in the presence of God and they begin to go over here. And you can go far. You can do a lot of great things doing the works. But man, you're going to burn out. You're going to turn carnal. And this is why we get so many problems in church world on teams. People don't like to be told, no, who do you think I am? I can sing. Why ain't I up there? You saw you've been eating from that tree, brother. Because this tree says that God will provide. Promotion comes from the Lord. And as long as you are rooted in the element, the promotion comes from the Lord. The season will begin to bear in its season. The fruit will begin to bear in its season. I'll tell you one more verse that's kind of hard. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? I wonder if Matthew 7 describes people that eat from this tree. Jesus said on that day, many will say to me, Lord, 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 did I not prophesy in your name? Gifts. Did I not cast out devils in your name? Gifts. Did I not do many things in your name? And Jesus said, I'm going to tell them plainly, depart from me, you who have no fruit, for I never knew you. And it's like, what do you mean you never knew me? Because the Bible says that when I was in my mother's womb, God knew me. So how does he say he knew me in my mother's womb, but on the day of judgment, many are going to come before him and say, I got all these gifts. And you're going to say, you never knew me. But then I'm reminded that Jesus didn't speak English. Jesus spoke Greek and Aramaic, and the word, I never knew you, actually is the same word that describes Adam knowing his wife Eve in Genesis. It's an intimate relationship, abiding. What Jesus is saying, hey, brother, you married me, you took my last name, but you never stayed at the house to get to know me. I don't know who you are. You're running over here, you're doing that. You're running over here and you're doing that, but I don't know who you are, bro. You ain't. I, I just wonder if that verse. So I got to ask myself, is my life, and I know what many are saying, Pastor Eddie, you don't understand. I can't slow down. I know. The fact that we can't trust God when we slow down reveals how shallow we really trust him. I mean, who is doing all this? You see, it takes faith to slow down, stop, and abide. Don't take no faith. This takes work. And we will go to work for the Lord. Hallelujah. But God is saying, listen, man, I don't want to see yourself being burned out. So I asked myself, Lord, I'll go ahead and take that on. And here's the thing, and I'm going to get, let me wait till I get there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The second thing I always ask myself, first of all, is my life structured for abiding or avoiding? Number two, am I serving out of desire or duty? This is what I ask myself. Lord, am I doing this because a fruit tree desires to bear fruit? Because you see, fruit is produced for other people. The only kind of fruit that eats itself is rotten fruit. The whole point of a fruit tree is for other people. The whole reason why we walk in love, joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit, yes, it helps us, but it's for other people to see. It's for other people to, and we have a very hungry society today that is just dying for somebody to stand up with some answers and say, hey, I may not have all the answers, but I got some love. I got some joy. You got joy? You see the news? I got joy. I got peace. You got peace, brother? You must not watch the news, because everywhere I look, I know the world's on fire right now, but I'm planted like a tree next to the rivers of living water, and I got joy. I got peace. I got self-control. I got gentleness, baby. Don't you know that? I got joy in my soul. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Come on, mama, help me sing today. It's the joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. That's all I know. Am I serving out of desire or duty? And when this happens, church, let me just tell you something, that whenever this happens, it's usually because there's something that's went wrong in the soil. So first of all, I want you to know that I don't want to paint a picture that fruit don't have any work at all and that it's all 100% desire, because there is some work involved. There is a level of sacrifice involved in this tree as well. How many parents we have here that would say, there are times that you got up in the middle of the night to feed that baby, not out of desire, but out of duty. Come on, somebody. How many wives will be nice to your husband, not out of desire, but because you're married to that guy and God? Okay, so I'm not saying whenever you have a hard time, oh, you're eating from the wrong tree. No, that's just life. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, mama, daddy, you're going to get up at 2:00 and do what you got to do for that baby. And why? Because you'll even take a bullet for that baby. You love that child. You love that hard-headed husband. Don't look at him right now. Look at me. Desire is the motivator, but it's not always easy. But what motivates a tree like this is my question, because there is a lot of olives. There is a lot of works going on. What motivates these kind of trees that we eat off of? And if you look at the soil, it's all in the soil. If you look into the soil, the reason why this thing does what it does it out of guilt. This tree or produce works, but many times out of shame. How many know the enemy will shame you into doing a lot? How many know people can shame you into a lot? Why a tree works so hard? A lot of times, like me, this was mine. I had a lot of regret. I didn't serve the Lord and take advantage of my childhood that God gave me, a Christian home. And I let the world pull me out. So when I got saved, I was like, yeah! I'm going to die for the church. And God said, don't die for the church. Someone already did. But I didn't help my dad when he was in E-course. The police came during a revival and a big fight broke out when my dad was trying to have a revival. True story. Guess who was out there fighting? Somebody you know. This is another one right here. Acceptance. If I just do more, if I just do more, I'll be accepted. The approval is there. And man, I just feel the Lord. If this is you right here and you're working and you're motivated and you're doing this because you want to be accepted, I want you to know this tree over here, the big difference is this tree knows he's loved. This tree knows he's accepted. This tree knows his guilt is gone. His shame is gone. So he willingly says, God, I just want to produce for you. What do you need me to do? You've been so good. God, I don't need it to be accepted, but because I'm accepted, I'm going to bear fruit, baby. It's going to be good fruit. Everybody's going to want a piece of this fruit, baby, because I'm already accepted. Is this helping anybody here today? In fact, I love the scripture where Jesus is getting baptized and he's in the River Jordan and the Bible says that a voice comes out of heaven. And what does it say? This is my boy. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. You know what is amazing about that verse, about that scripture and story? Is Jesus hasn't even started his ministry. And God is saying, I am well pleased. Can I tell you, the moment you say yes to Jesus, God says, that's enough. Come here. Let me love you. Let me take care of that shame. You don't got to work. You don't got to do all of this to get my approval. I already love you just the way that you are. When you come to me, I am in you. Let that shame go. Your past does have a voice. It does have a say, but it don't have the last word. Because I'm here to tell you that I died on a cross to take care of it. You are set free from it. I love you. Woo. Next week when we, Lord willing, so I'm tempted to teach on a whole week on just on the Sabbath, on just on resting. How many would like to hear that message? I don't know. How many would? Okay, maybe I will. Let's see, I'm praying. I'm praying about that. If not, we're going to go to love. It's the first fruit. I'm going to wait till we get there. So you got to ask yourself, am I eating off this tree? If so, that's what's motivating me. And the last question I asked myself, Lord, am I producing or do I need pruning? I didn't say, am I working? Because anybody can work. I can get atheists travel the world and do some good things. Well, at least agnostics do. They don't really serve God. There's other religions that do a lot of good works in the world. There's a difference, though, is what this whole message is about, from working, from producing fruit. Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you will have a reward. Now, anybody can give a cup of cold water. That's works. But when you do it because you've been planted in a good environment and you just want to bless somebody, it's not work, it's producing. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? So I got to ask myself, Lord, am I in a season of producing, or is it time to prune? Because the scripture says, go back to Psalm 1, he shall be like a tree that bears fruit in its season. You see, this tree looks the same all the time. It's always tired. It's always sensitive. It's always touchy. It's always very carnal. It's not very deep. It's always like that. Every now and then it'd be like, yeah, I got a Bible. Pastor Eddie wants me to go to this men's conference, so I'll go. Amen. What we're hoping is that somewhere along the line, you attend here that you're going to catch up on the message and get the message that God just wants your heart, man, because he wants you to bear fruit so your family can say, you know what, since you've been going to church, I noticed there's a change, not in how much you do, I noticed a change in your attitude. Don't get too excited. That's too many amens there. And so what you notice about that stays the same all year around. This one goes through seasons. Why? Because it's alive. It's alive. And the Bible says that this will bear fruit in its season. So there's some seasons where you're not going to be bearing fruit. But if you're alive and you're planted in a good environment, you will not be producing fruit, but your roots will be getting deeper. Because that is exactly what happens in the off seasons. Now, I don't know if you have fruit trees. Anybody here got fruit trees? Just, I don't know. Few of you. Yeah, God bless you. Amen. Well, something you'll know about fruit trees, and we're starting to close. Man, I'm doing good on time. There's something about fruit trees that Jesus tells us about pruning that we read that. And I mentioned it last week, but I purposely didn't park there because I want to show you something here. But let me throw it back up. Jesus said in John 15, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. So, and God is the gardener, by the way, if you read John 15. God is the gardener. So if I read that right, God comes along and says, hey, you've been attached to my son, and you ain't doing nothing with everything that he's given you. He died for you, and man, you know what? You're wasting the everything. I'm going to cut you right off that. I mean, that if I'm reading that right, that's a very sobering verse. So we know that pruning involves getting rid of things that are dead. And if you really go deep into that, because I looked it up, how does a branch become dead when it's attached to something living? And what you'll find out is it's a disease, a blockage in the vascular system of a fruit. Fruits have vascular systems.
I didn't know that.
And apparently there will have nutrients coming up from the soil, but there's a blockage in the branch that will cut off the ability of the fruit. Now, I can go another hour on what's blocking the Holy Spirit in your life. Some of you, it could be just erroneous teaching and doctrine that you were raised in a certain way that, you know, Holy Spirit is not this or that. And you could have a real mental block that just shuts anything down whenever, you know, you'll be in worship and you'll be feeling them goosebumps. I know you do. And you want to put those hands up and you're like, Or you were raised to believe certain things, that can block it. There's all relationships can block it. But pruning, and here's the point I want to close with that I really want you to see, that every winter, early spring, so January to March, right now, and I pray whenever you're watching this message, I don't care if it's in October, I prayed over this whole message so much this week. I haven't prayed this much over a message in a long time. I pray that this will speak directly to your heart, and God will rekindle some freshness and some fresh fruit into your life and try to get you to slow down and abide in him, because he wants to produce that fruit in your life. Some of you used to produce fruit. Love God. You love getting up and reading your word. You look forward to your Bible time. And I've been in seasons where I didn't look forward to my Bible time. I'm doing it because it's a work. I've been there. So I know that I need to do what? I need to do some pruning, because here's what happens. January to March, a fruit tree, every fruit tree, will start to grow shoots. But the problem is, it grows too many shoots that the root system can handle. Every March. So a gardener has to come along and say, I know that shoot looks good. In fact, you got five new shoots on this tree. But guess what? Your root system is not that strong. You can't handle it. If I let you grow with these five shoots, you're not going to be able to abide and have the time to sustain the energy and the viability and the health of that tree. You're going to end up becoming like this. So I, the gardener, has got to cut some things out of your life and restructure some things in your life so that you would be able to slow down and be planted in me. That's pruning. That's what pruning is. And I can't tell you what you need to prune. And there's a part of me as a pastor that says, you should never preach this, because you're going to get people stepping out of ministries left and right. And I'll just tell you, every ministry we have here is growing, it's doing well, but we need help. But I would rather you be healthy and abiding in your relationship with Jesus than be running 6 and 7 ministries in this church and starting to feel all these things over here and become unhealthy. I would not be doing my job as a pastor. That's why every ministry we have here is on seasonal, is on rotation. And I ask my staff, how you doing? Every Tuesday we have our huddles. We pray. We talk. I check in with them. How you doing? And we got this. I've been preaching this to our staff about slowing down. I told Felicia and Lindsay, you guys, I know you're paid staff, but you need to be in the service every now and then too. Because a chef needs to eat too. And I know you got podcasts and you can feed yourself. You absolutely do. But you need to also take the, so we need volunteers. Absolutely. But I don't want anybody volunteering for any ministry unless you get this first assignment down in your life. I bet you ain't never heard a pastor say that. Now, what usually goes, I'll be honest with you, is the church stuff. Pastor, the Lord told me I need to step down. And you follow them home and they're calling their boss. I'll take that extra promotion. I'll take that other job. I'll be in that. No, so you got to let the Holy Spirit, you need to stop and say, Lord, what do I need to let go of? What do you need to prune in my life? And everyone's on different seasons. I watch my daughter and son-in-law. I got two babies now. And it's fun to watch them. But I watch him how I, you know, ask him, you know, how's your Bible time come? We'll talk about the Lord. And I love hearing it, you know. Our prayer time now is at 10 o'clock at night. One showers, one takes a nap, whatever. We get our Bible. You learn to multitask when you got little ones. I've never seen you eat as soon as the baby takes a nap. So I know everyone has busy lives right now. But are you busy or are you productive? That's this message right here. We're talking about bearing fruit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Man, I thought you were talking about parting the sky. Speaking in tongues. Like I said last week, what good is it if we speak in tongues if we don't have control over our tongues, right? And so it takes time. It takes time to produce it. And you are only gonna hold your tongue and put the spirit of slap away if you're here. Because this brother right here will do a good deed, and if you don't take that water, it'll clothesline you in Jesus' name. And that's how we are when we're eating from this tree. We're so touchy. What? Cut you off on the way to church with my River Ready sticker. Amen. Brother, you know what's happening? You're over here. You're eating from over here. Come over here. Come over here. All you got to do is stay planted. All you got to do is get some good soil going in your life. All you got to do is get some sunshine in your life. All you got to do is get that word. Come on, get the Holy Spirit. You've been coming to church now for 6 years, and you ain't praying in the Holy Ghost. You ain't learning the prophet. You ain't learning to stir the gifts up. You're not praying and say, God, speak to me from the word. We should be at the grocery store looking at people and not, you know, I know inflation's crazy and it's got us all distracted. But can you see Jesus running through the stores like many of us do and all the things that act, or Paul, Peter? No, they were on mission everywhere they went. They'd be in line at the grocery store. The Lord may have you go to Kroger and stand in that longest line there is there because they want you to pray for that person right in front of you. They don't even hear that stuff no more. Because we're eating off the wrong tree. And religion is built on that tree over there. We raise our kids, and when they get 16, 17, 18, they run out of here. What did we do? We were in church every week. I know you were in church every week. So is this guy. But let me ask you something. Do you talk about God to your kids naturally? Hey, what'd you guys talk about in River Kids? I love the girls' ministry did this. They were so happy. Tanisha was told me them kids were so happy. These kids come every Wednesday. Many of you do. And it's no guarantee that our kids are going to serve the Lord even after that. They have a free will. But I tell you what, their chances go way up, even statistically, when you get the dad in some good soil. That's why I'll pay somebody if I have to get you to go to that men's camp. I want our men. I love how many men we have here. I love seeing men up in this altar. Alon, you guys bless me to be a grown man to come up here and be in the front and lift your hands. That's awesome that you guys do that. You don't have to do that, okay? So you don't have to worship the way I worship. You don't have to worship the way Lawrence worships. But we all are called to worship. And you will worship. Whoa, moonwalking. You will worship if you're planted in this soil. This guy right here, oh, that's women stuff. That's only if I get diagnosed with cancer. That's only if the pruning gets too painful. Then I'm just being real with you. This was my life. When I had a court case coming up, oh, Jesus. Dad, I bring my dad, my poor dad. You got to go to court with me, Dad. And Dad would go. My dad never gave up on me. Standing there, I had him in courts, Murphy Hall of Justice down there. My dad's standing there. Well, Your Honor, he's turning over a new leaf. He came to church on Easter, and he's really doing good. And I believe God's doing something. I'd be all, yes, Your Honor. I promise this time. That's this guy. And then when I got saved, November the 5th, y'all know my testimony. Everybody here knows my testimony. 1997, I started to do this and say, God said, because you're only going to last about 6 months over here, bro. You see people in church, they were here one day, then they're not. Someone might have moved. God might have moved them because he does that. Others, they got sick because they're eating off the wrong tree. Offended, hurt. Something crazy. Didn't like my shoes. I don't know. People will make stuff up sometimes when you got this going on in your life. So God said, come here. I need you to be planted. I need you to get in some good soil. I need you to get in the Word of God. You need to cut some things loose out of soil. You need to get rid of some of these grub worms in there. You need to get rid of this stuff. Get some Holy Ghost, brother. I want you to go deep. You've been saved. Some of y'all have been saved for a long time. We need to learn to grow in our faith. You love me? So we got to prune, let the Lord prune us. So this is what I'm going to do about communion. I want us to stand to our feet right now. I'm going to close out with prayer. I've never done this before, and I went back and forth. I was even asking Melinda, I said, honey, I feel like this is what the Lord has put on my heart. I love my wife. She's like, do it. Do it. You can do it. My wife believes in me. So I said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I want everybody to get a communion. If you don't have a communion element, will you lift your hand? Ushers, will you get ready? Oh, yes. You've got hands. Keep your hand up until you get a communion. And I want you to get a communion element in your hand. And this is what I'm going to do. Don't open them. Please don't open your communion. If you did, you need another one. And that's okay. Because we take communion together every second Sunday. We do it as a church family. We do it as an institution of the Lord to remember the Lord. Amen. Keep your hands up. They're coming. But today, I'm going to send you home with the communion. And I want you to get alone with your God. And I want you to abide with Jesus. Today, it could be sometime this week. You've seen us do it enough where you understand. If not, if you're brand new to the faith, this is what you do. First thing, you need to ask God to cleanse you of all your sin. This is no joke. You need to ask God to cleanse you of all your sin. When you get home, I want you to get in your quiet time, put some worship music on, if that's you, if you like to do that. And I want you to create an atmosphere. We're living in a day where my daily bread ain't going to get us. A Facebook scripture, well, listen, we are on the brink of something, I believe, crazy right now. And if we ain't rooted deep in the things of God, you're going to drop like flies. I don't want anybody in this church to fall by the wayside. I want you to grow stronger through these seasons, and you can do it by learning how to spend time with the Lord. So you pray and you ask God to forgive you. Then you're going to open that packet. You're going to get that little piece of styrofoam-looking bread. That bread is supposed to be tasteless because it's unleavened bread. It's supposed to be bitter, representing the body of Jesus that was broken on the cross. And you're going to take that bread, and you're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sin. And you're going to eat it by yourself. Yeah. And many of you do it all, you know, you do it. We're going to do it again. And then you take the cup and you're going to lift it to the Lord. And you're going to say, thank you, Lord, for this new covenant. Because this new covenant took away my shame, my guilt. I don't got to work to be accepted. Jesus worked so I can be accepted. I thank you for it. And then you take that communion and I just want you to worship. That's your homework. That's for your Monday. I used to drive a truck. Sometimes you see a truck pulled over on the side of the road, you may think, what is he doing over there? Do you know what I was doing in my truck for 13 years? 11 of those years, taking communion. I'd go in a liquor store and I'd get grape juice. I got apple juice one time and crackers went out to my car. Why? Because I wanted to bear fruit. I got two little girls at home. I got a wife at home. And he's a husband that's going to lead this family in the things of God. And I can't do it looking like a plastic Christian all the time, living two lives, being one world, one foot in the world, being all about myself, being all prideful.
I don't know about you, but I have a mean flesh that I got to keep down. And we're going to show you how to do that in this series of the Holy Ghost. But it starts with this, man, being planted. So how many's going to do this at home? You going to take it at home when you do that? I know it's awkward. If you didn't get one, take one on the way home. Maybe you want to take communion together as a couple. We got plenty. Our tithes buys it. We buy it. Take it. We have some family here visiting that normally watch online. It's the Sherman family. I don't know if Linda and Joe is here. Amen. God bless you. They always watch us every week online. Now you're in person. Grab as many communions as you can. Take them home. We ship these communions out. My father-in-law and mother-in-law, they watch us every week. We give them communion. So I want you to take it at home. That's the assignment, okay? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Bow your heads with me today. Before I pray a blessing and release you, I want to just ask you, if you're here today and you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian, and you need to say yes to Jesus, if that's you today, will you lift up your hand right where you are and say, pray for me? I need to accept Christ in my heart as my Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here, please lift your hand up high so I can see it. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, you want to receive Christ, you can put your name in there. We'll receive Christ. Okay, rest of you, you're all Christians. That's good. How many of you would say, I think I've been eating from the wrong tree, Pastor Eddie. I need to start eating from this tree a little more. Let me see your hand. Because I need to know who needs to hear this besides me. Okay, God bless you. Amen. Well, lift that other hand to the Lord. Lord, this is your word, not mine. This is your sermon, your message. I've just delivered it. Father, we got one assignment, and that is to abide in you. Lord, I pray the prayer closets would get cleaned out again and be used again. I pray the Bibles would come to life again. I pray, God, that the desire would come, not duty, but desire. Lord, I pray we would restructure our life, begin to pray again, and see the fruit begin to produce out of our lives, oh Jesus. And God, give me wisdom on what I need to prune. Do I need to be on 6 committees and run over here and be involved with all them? Or show me what I need to do to slow down and be in union with you, Lord, I pray. Speak to your people, I pray. Have your way in Jesus' name. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in and God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.